I ran out to the truck, checked my phone. It's like I got to concentrate here. But I couldn't help but go see, make sure if I've heard anything from the family yet. Haven't heard from Cousin Eddie, so we'll see what's going to do with him. Anyway, isn't it hard when you have multiple things happening to focus and, you know, and to just... You ever have so much, it feels like you're almost in a spin, you know, and you're just trying to keep up, you know, it's like multitasking's done gone out the door, you know, it's beyond that. So, anyway, I want to focus on this because it's the timeless message, God's reason, God's purpose. God's reason, God's purpose. Why does he do what he does? Why does he allow things? And if you don't question that once in a while, then I'm proud of you, because I have to admit to you and say to you that sometimes I don't understand and I question him. And I just, do you ever do it? Yeah, you just, why are you letting this happen? What purpose could there be to it? And I'm not talking about just with what's happening with family, but just everything. I go through that, and then the Lord brings about this message. You know, why are you having to suffer with a son it's just a long haul back, you know, Dora? And it's like, God, and we see these things, and why do our children do the things they do? Then we just want to scream and, oh, okay, climb the wall. And, you know, why do family and friends, and then at work all of a sudden we think we've got a secure thing, and it's just going... What happened here? What is all this about? Why can't we depend on a blasted thing? It's like, and we can't. We depend only on God and his protection, his providing, his providence. But then we come to Romans chapter 5, and he lays it out there for us. And do I like all this? No. I don't. But I don't have to like it. I was sharing with some folks earlier that there's some things in Scripture that we don't personally always like, but they're there and we have to obey them. You know, there's just some things the Lord says, it's like, I don't know if I like that. Well, for one, love your enemies. I mentioned it before. I still struggle with that. Do you? I don't like it. He likes it. And he wants me to be like him. Wants you to be like him. So we have to practice on forgiving and loving our enemies. But we have some enemies out there that, wow, they just don't know when to stop, do they? And they're hard to love. And yet at the same time, we have to do it. So, you know, I say all that to say, well, why? Why is all this? Why the stuff? Why do we have to go through suffering ourselves and see all this happen to other people? Well, let me read these five verses and we'll jump into it. And talk about why God's reason, and then God's purpose. That's all there is to it. You know, it's like, really? Yeah, well, there's a lot here, but that's what it's about. I mean, we're not here for ourselves, and that's hard for us to get over. We're not here for what makes us happy, or what we like and don't like in life. We're here for what pleases God. And so here it is, Romans 5, verse 1 through 5. Therefore, New International Version. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing wrong with that. Everybody needs to hear that. We've been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. That's good. That's good. And then, oh no, here it comes. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. I haven't been able to glory in a single suffering I've had. Have you? I glory later, but he said in. Because he could see already the outcome was going to be a great outcome of the Lord. When I'm suffering, all I can see is, why is this happening? You know, that's just our human nature. And he said, we boast in the hope, glory of God. That's great. And not only so, we glory in our sufferings. And he says, here's why I glory in it. He said, we glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. So there it is. It's hard to imagine, but there it is. He just answered why he lets things happen. Now we don't understand. He's building something in us. I wish it didn't take such things to build it, don't you? I mean, sometimes. But he says it right there. Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So let's talk about this whole thing. First of all, it's all about faith. It's all about faith. God builds, he builds our lives from faith. And we start with faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. You have to pardon me for a moment. My eyes are watering and my throat's itchy. You know what that means? Allergy stuff is coming down. And I know I can tell you what it is, so get ready. I've been looking out through the place there and all along the sides of the road, and those cedar trees, many of them are turning completely golden. And this high wind, and I thought, oh, and I have a struggle with it every year. So when you hear me get a little hoarse at times, I have to often get a shot to stop the reaction. I can't stop sneezing and eyes watering. Those trees and the rain helped do it. See, we wanted the rain. We got so much rain. I just couldn't believe it. I thank God for all the rain. It rained so hard, rained so long, that the little bridge down from the house, three miles down the road down there, you couldn't see the bridge. The water, the river was up so high, it was roaring over the bridge. Could see no bridge at all. So it went from drought to flood. But with it, when it rains like that at this time of year, the cedar trees, just all the female trees, it's the females. Why do they do that? No, I'm just playing with you. But anyway, all the trees, not all of them, but that you see this, just why do cedar trees, some are so, they're all so green and one is just gold. That's the one that's fixing to get you. And then a puff of wind hits it and it's, we call them exploding. All of a sudden that pollen just blows into the air and it looks like it blew. And then you breathe it. So here I am and I notice my eyes are watering and all that, and just typical signs. But anyway, part of this message, why does that have to have allergies? It molds your character. Don't you, when are we ever going to get enough character? Do you ever ask that? It talks about perseverance and all of this stuff, and it's like, when is it ever going to happen? You know, is there ever an age you reach where you've got all of this? Apparently not. He didn't put any limit here or cutoff point. I guess the cutoff point is when we're really cut off, right? You know, you'll know when you've reached it, you'll go to heaven. And it's like, well, what good did it do me down here? I never could get it here, and now it's too late. Anyway, that's life. That's the way it goes. So let me share this. God builds our lives from faith. He gives you righteousness. Now take this and let this soak in. We need to hear it. God gives you righteousness. You can't earn it. You don't develop it. God gives you righteousness, declares you righteous when you repent of your sins and ask Jesus Christ into your heart. Everybody good? We okay with that? Any other righteousness is from the law. It's religious, not Christian. And there are a lot of self-righteous people out there who think they know the word, they know the law, they know this, they know how to do church. I've got it together and don't know why all the rest of you can't figure it out. You ever been around anybody like that? If you get around them again, run. Yeah, they'll run. They just get away from them because they're not teachable. When you think you know it, you stop learning. When you know what you know and you say, I'm really good in what I do, but you're willing to learn more, hey, you're in there. You never know enough. Learn all you can. And so the righteousness that God gives comes from my faith in Jesus Christ, and He declares me righteous, declares you righteous based on my faith in Jesus Christ. And that's good. That's wonderful. And then what else does He do? He keeps me righteous. He keeps me righteous. It's not the righteousness that Jesus gives is not a righteousness that I throw away. I'm not going to lose that righteousness. I might get out of fellowship, but before Him, I'm still righteous. I may not be right in fellowship, but I'm right in relationship because of my faith in Him. Everybody hearing this? You're not hearing this? Now listen to this. When I ask Jesus in my heart and I repent of my sins, I am given a righteous relationship with Him. I'm adopted into His family. We're good? But fellowship is something that depends also. God offers His fellowship. That is friendship, in other words, this intimacy with Him. I have to do my part and follow up on that. And so I can fall out of fellowship, just like you can get, you know, pretty lame in a friendship with somebody. But the relationship hasn't changed, but my daily intimacy has. I'm still His child, but I'm sure not acting like it, and I'm not receiving the flow of the Holy Spirit because I'm out of fellowship. Are you working with me on this? So you're not going to lose your relationship, but you can mess up on your fellowship, your closeness, your intimacy with God. That's why when you sin, you say something, do something, think something, and you're convicted of it, don't wait, confess it, because the longer you wait, the longer you're getting out of fellowship. Okay? Your relationship is still there. If it wasn't, you wouldn't be convicted in the first place. We good? You're very quiet this morning. Is it the anticipation of what's coming next? Or just thinking about the weather? I want to believe that it's you just hanging on every word. Every pastor wants to believe. We like to deceive ourselves. Nothing like deception. And I ask people, please don't do anything to dash my delusions. I like them. Now this righteousness in relationship, this righteousness in fellowship, it brings me peace. It brings peace. This is Jesus saying, the peace I give is not, I give you peace, it's not of the world. It gives me peace when I know that my righteousness is from relationship and from fellowship. It gives a peace. And yet, and it's like, okay, everything's all right with the world, and yet God says, not yet. Because I want you to become like me in this righteousness and have this peace in your heart, but I want to allow you to go through some things. Even though you have this building block and Jesus Christ the cornerstone, now I want you to mature and be like I was on this earth, and that's where the trouble starts. It's one thing to sit back and say, praise the Lord for your righteousness you give me. Pray for the Lord, praise you, Lord, for the righteousness of fellowship, relationship, fellowship, the peace in my heart. And God says, hey, that's great. But I want you to be matured so you can handle life. I want you to be able to handle people. I want you to be able to handle me and understand me. And how does that happen? That's when all this stuff starts taking place. So here we go. God uses life to build our faith. He said, you've got faith to get started. Now I want it to grow. I want you to have a faith at least the size of a mustard seed that can move mountains. He said, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you can say this, you know, sycamore tree, fig tree, whatever you want to call it, and you can say this tree over here, be removed, be plucked up by the roots and cast into the sea, and it'll be done for you. Just as the size of a mustard seed, and you're saying, don't we have that much? Well, I don't know. I don't see anything being moved like that. Now, he didn't mean that literally, but you could. If Christians together had the faith that we talk about, I don't believe we'd have the evil that we see. Would we? I have people tell me, I'm a Christian. Okay, great. That's good. I'm thinking by their fruits you'll know them. And they'll say, yet, you know, I'm of a particular party and I just have to vote that party. And it's like, wrong. Wrong. That's not what God says in His Word. You vote the Bible. You vote whoever's walking closest to this, and that may be a stretch, but you know, you can't just, you, no, you don't, we don't, we're not a part of this earth. We have to live in it, but we are our fellowship, our home, our relationship takes us to heaven, right? And Christians, and I have Christians say, yeah, I voted for so-and-so, or I did this or that. It's like, their fruits are evil. They're not showing any righteousness. Well, I don't care. My dad was that way, my grandpa and my grandma. Oh, great. So do you really know the Lord? Because your grandpa, your great-grandpa, all these people, I mean, from way back, who's your real ancestry once you become a Christian? Remember, you're grafted into His vine? Well, you're now kin to who? Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Jacob, David, all these people, they're your kin folks. Of course, they had some of them had some bad habits, but I mean, you know, okay, you say sins of the forefathers, okay, so you blame Abraham now, or David, or whoever it is, but they're your kin folks. And it's hard for Christians to grasp, but they really are your real spiritual kin. You're in there, in that tree. And so with it, you get all this stuff, and God says, I want you to become like a David. I want you to become like a Moses. I want you to become like an Abraham. They're good qualities. Isaac and Jacob. But most of all, I want you to become like Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to do that is to go through some junk. That's what I call it. God has a more spiritual name for it. But it's like, you mean I got to go through the junkyard to find the gold? Yeah, you do. You're going to have to tread through the treacherous and the minefields and all of that. So let's look at this real close and get into this just for a moment. And he said, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. So there's the first one. What does suffering do? It teaches me perseverance. What does that word mean in the original, in the Greek? To be steadfast. To continue steadfastly in a thing and give unremitting care to it. So what God is saying is, look, I'm going to let you suffer. For one, and you got to figure out, ask God, which part of this or all of it are you teaching me? But I'm going to let you suffer. So you will learn to be steadfast no matter what comes at you. That you'll learn not to let people push your buttons. You'll learn to not choose to be angry. You know, you say, well, so-and-so made me angry. And God said, no, they did not make you. They gave you the opportunity. They really gave you an opportunity. But you chose anger. You chose to lose it. And He's saying, so I'll let you keep going through some things, you know, suffering things until you learn to be more persevering. And what is that, you know, to be more steadfast. And by the way, the word perseverance also includes the word that none of us like, patience. You knew it was coming, right? You could just, it borders as, you know, it's part of perseverance to be patient when things are happening. What does that mean? To wait on God to move. I have to be patient and let the Lord do what He wants to do. I'm feeling and hearing restlessness all around the room. And it's like, and here's the tough part. You know, this is where I sit with God when these messages are coming in my mind, my heart, you know, and you're writing notes and saying, let me get this, let me put this, let me study this, let me look at this. And it's like, Tony, there's a little catch, a glitch in this. What's the glitch, God? If you don't learn it, you go through it again and again and again. And I thought, is 70 years enough agains? And it's like, it's going to be 80. There you go. Just wait. If you don't learn steadfastness now, you've got to learn to stand when others are falling all around you. You've got to learn to be patient with God, with yourself, with other people. You got to be patient with circumstances, and you got to stand firm no matter what. And it's tough. It may be a physical thing. It may be an illness. It may be things that are going on with your body that you just, it's like, why, God? And he's saying, I'm still molding you into me. And the problem is, if you pull stunts like I pull every now and then, I resist that. I'm taught to resist suffering. Do what you, don't go through that. You know, that goes back to military training even. I mean, you know, you don't do any unnecessary suffering. There's enough out there already. And God says, you've got to be willing to let me put you through it and learn to persevere. I want people to be just like my son Jesus, who walked this earth, and no matter what they threw at him, no matter what they said to him, no matter how sorry life got, he kept walking straight on and kept his mind and heart focused on me. And that's what I want you to do. And until you learn to do it, there'll be some more. I'm finally getting to the point where God, I think I choose to try to learn it. You know, and I'll tell you something else. And I realize this. You know, I'm always telling you these stories about what happens on I-10. But that stuff really happens out there. And then I realize, and it's going to keep happening even more until you start learning what I'm trying to teach you from it. You're going to learn not to react. You can't control the other drivers. You can only control yourself. You're going to get mad and lose your temper? You're going to yell at them? You're going to cuss them? And it's like, whoa, that's what it's about, isn't it? Oh, they'll keep cutting in closer to your front bumper till you start learning this stuff. Just think about it. And that annoying person that comes into your life every so often, they're going to come more often. So if you want them to stay away, learn. Roll with it. Get some patience. Learn to stand fast. Stand fast. Don't back up. I'm not going to let them push my buttons anymore. I'm not going to let that irritating family member, friend, neighbor, whoever it is, they are not going to do this to me anymore. And you can't do it on your own. You got to give it to Jesus and ask him to help you. But God, help me to learn that lesson. And all of a sudden you're saying, so that's why this keeps happening to me. Oh. There was the flash. Did you see the flash of light over there? The lightning bolt. That's why it keeps happening. Because God loves you. And he wants you in a deeper, more intimate fellowship with him. And he wants you to be able to stand fast. He doesn't want you knocked down all the time. You got to stand up. Got to keep going. Don't give in. What have you given in to? Well, anyway, I don't want to beat that one, you know, ride that horse too far, but you know, it hits us all, doesn't it? And it's like you got to stand. You got to be strong. You're going to have your weak moments, but you got to come out of them. So you got to learn to persevere. Be steadfast. Give unremitting care to what you know you're calling here in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say, you know, and we boast the hope and glory of God on us. We glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And then he said, and as you learn to persevere, that's going to produce character. And it's like, does this never end? No. But we can learn a lot more so it's not as often. I'll be very happy when, and I think I went away there, didn't I? But I'll be very happy when cars quit cutting me off and God's saying, I'll be very happy when you become more persevering. I won't allow all this so often. And really think of the things in your life. It's like there's a purpose to it, isn't it? There's always a purpose. There's a learning experience in everything. And what about character? You ever thought about what character means? If you try to look it up, if you try to go back in the Greek, it's really hard to reference character because it's a combination of so many qualities. And it one just doesn't stand out. When you say the character that God's looking for, what is he looking for? He names some of them here. Perseverance, hope, faith. So when you find a person of character, they have faith, hope, perseverance. What else? Love. And you, what draws you to a person of character? You know, you don't get character just as handed out to you. You open the box and there it is. Character comes through getting the living daylights knocked out of you in life. It comes through learning to stand, learning to endure. It makes you a person of integrity, honesty. A person that keeps your word. A person who stands on their faith in Jesus Christ and doesn't back up. That's a person of character. It's a person who will be out front when the bullets are flying, when stuff's happening. They're the ones right there leading the way. A person of character that everybody looks to and says they actually live up to what God says needs to be lived up to. That's what God's working to instill in every single one of us. And not the people that don't back up, don't give in. And you know what else a person of character does? When they do mess up, they instantly admit it. They confess it. And they get it right with whoever was affected by it. Because they recognize they're not perfect. So faith, perseverance, hope. They're people of personal, spiritual strength, character. And you say, how do you get that? Everybody want character? You want to be people of character, right? Then you got to be willing to go through the suffering that God ordains for you to develop that character. He said he'll develop perseverance. And as you do that, that will develop your character. There's a lot of answers here. I've questioned God on a lot of things. Why are you allowing this? Why are you doing this? I had to ask him, what's the deal with the cousin? I'm on my way to church, you know, and then I get that news. It's just shocking, you know, your family. And it's like, Tony, I'm dealing with him. I'm teaching him things in his life. But I'm teaching you also. You don't tell me what to do. I tell you what to do. Are you going to turn him over to me? Or are you going to try to fix it yourself like you've always tried to do with everything? My first impulse when something goes wrong with anybody or anything is I want to try to find a way to fix it. How many of you do that? Okay? And what's the first thing we're supposed to do? Ask God how he wants to fix it. Will you take care of it? And then he'll put it in your heart what part you have to play in it. That is just extremely hard to yield to, and yet we're going to keep going through things like this until we learn it. I know this is the most exciting lesson in the world, but it's one that'll change your life for the better if you'll just let God use it. And he says then he's building that character, and he's going to give you hope, and hope does not disappoint, or in here in the NIV it says put to shame, because love, God's love, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And this hope, let me give you the Greek definition, what this word literally meant in the Greek. And you use the word hope. In translation, it's always hard to bring literal when you translate any language into another. But here's what it means in the Greek. It means favorable and confident expectation. Favorable and confident expectation. There's a little more. In the unseen and future. And then there's a verb in there. Happy. It means happy expectation of good. So when God builds hope in you, you have a favorable, confident expectation in what? The unseen future. That God's going to do what he says he'll do, even though it's not on my timetable. And you also have a happy expectation that whatever God does, it's going to be good. And you put all this together and you say, so that's why God is allowing things to keep happening to me. And I get so frustrated, so discouraged, so upset with the Lord. And why does this continue to happen? And he's saying, it's not that I'm mad at you. I'm not judging you. I'm not upset with you the way you think I am. The devil's lying until you tell me that stuff. I am molding you into my son's character. So that no matter what life throws at you, you're the one that stands up literally to the storm of life and says, peace, be still. And every single one of us, that's what God wants, is that kind of perseverance, that kind of character, that kind of hope that others can look and see Christ in us, our hope of glory, when we stand up and say to the storm out there raging around us, peace, be still. God's got this. And God's got us. God's got my cousin. God's got your son. God's got a sister and a daughter. God's got them. And when we think about that and pray about it, what are we worried about? God's got them. We pray and we trust Him. We have this hope and we look forward that God's going to do good through it. As a matter of fact, isn't that what He said? All things work to the good of those that, you know, love God and are called according to His purpose. So God, you've got it and you've already promised it'll be good. One way or another it'll be good. And in the process, you're building a strong people, a mighty people that affects our faith, grows us in our faith, our relationship with You, Lord. It delivers us when we're tempted. It helps us to overcome the enemy using the authority of Jesus' name, authority of Jesus' word to rebuke and bind the enemy. It defeats our carnal nature. It helps us to plan financially. It helps us in our people relationships. It helps us not to be overcome by things and circumstances. And I'll tell you what else it does is God builds His characters. He builds His perseverance. He builds His hope. He calms my anxiety. He lowers my stress. He calms my distress. And He stops me from feeling so guilty that what have I done now? And He's saying, it's not what you've done, it's what I'm doing. Just let me do it. Let me mold you into my image. And it stops me from blaming myself and others. And it helps me to realize that failure is a part of being human. But success is of God. And for every failure, there will be a mighty success. And it helps you to grasp that God will allow you to fail from time to time so you can see that without Him, you can do nothing. But with Him, all things are possible. Isn't this powerful? Good. I'd hate to bring one that wasn't. So let's wrap it up with this. As God is allowing you to suffer, to build that perseverance, to build that character, to give that hope, and all to strengthen your faith, so having done all you can stand, just remember this, you need to know. God knows everything. Except that God knows what He's doing. And know that God will never leave you or forsake you. He knows where you are. He knows what's happening because He let it. And He knows the outcome if you'll yield to it. It'll be great. It'll be godly. It'll be good. And know that God through this is doing it because He has a plan and a purpose for you. And lastly, know this. Trust that no matter what, God purposes, destines, wants only the very, very best for you. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the power of it. We thank You that now we've got some insight, some understanding. We can at least hold on to some of this. That we're not being picked on. We're not being punished. We're being molded. You're doing it because You love us. We have potential. You wouldn't waste time on us if we didn't. We have potential to be the Christ-like people, the people of God You put us here to be. And let us take hope this morning, Lord. Give us hope. Give us that strength. Give us that perseverance. We don't like suffering. Nobody does. But help us to be able to rejoice just like Paul did. That is producing something in us that's a perseverance and a character and a hope that nothing can even touch. Nothing! Because it's godly. It's of God. And we thank You for it all in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you.